Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
All right, welcome back. Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros back at it tonight. Kikuchi on the mound.
Yeah.
How about this? Kikuchi against Boz. By the way, Boz, Shane Boz, is from Houston. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was in the World Baseball Classic, and we had a caller who called in. If that caller is listening right now, remember we got a call that said, hey, you guys got to watch for Shane Boz. He's a local kid.
Right.
Yeah, this is him. And he's pitching tonight at first time against the Astros. The first time that he's going to be pitching at Minute Maid. So this is pretty cool for him, pretty cool for his family, great. He's in town. He's 0-1 right now. He's got a 3.66 earned run average. He's made 4 starts so far. He's lasted 6, 4 and a third, 3 and a third, 6. And no, he's pitching pretty well, doing a nice job. So twice he had to face the Yankees. He had to face the Rangers lineup and the Cincinnati lineup. Those are all good lineups. And so the dude's going to be here tonight. We'll see whether or not. We'll see what we can do against him. But we got Kikuchi on the mound. I'm hoping that they worked with him a little bit, you know, because Joe Espada, he was the first one to admit it at the press conference as soon as the Astros acquired him. After that game, he said, you know, maybe we can teach him, you know, he can learn some stuff and we can get him on track, you know, in a good direction. And so hopefully yesterday, the law firm of Murphy and Miller, they were working with him, and maybe whatever it is, grip or whatever it is, that when pitchers come over here and they all of a sudden, you know, Taylor Scott was a journeyman that was just not all that good, and now he's one of the best relievers on the team and in the game. So it's, you know, whatever happens when they come over here, it's really, really nice, and hopefully that'll happen for Kikuchi starting tonight. And Dana Brown can all go, oh, how's this taste, all of you?
Maybe he doesn't have the same mentality you do, that he's going to do that and he's just going about his job.
Oh, maybe okay? And if I'm him, I'm going to go, oh, how was that trade now that we won the World Series with Kikuchi?
That'll be something else. But he throws, I mean, he throws hard. He's got a whip-like left arm. No, this is a guy who's been in Major League Baseball. We've seen him before. He can get on a little bit of run. He just lacks consistency, and he's going to have to find the strike zone at a little higher rate. I am curious to see what the Astros have done with. So they had a feature the other day, and you can find it on FanGraphs. But they looked at Scott and why he's been so much more effective as a Houston Astro. And they showed how they increased his four-seamer. They said, we're going to throw this a lot more. So it was basically subtracting certain pitches and adding certain pitches. And I think that was a real key for Hunter Brown, as he's made some changes in terms of, you know, throwing the sinker more. He's throwing a slider way less this year. It just was an ineffective pitch for him. It was too easy to hit. And so I think that's the real key, John. We may be, you know, people may be thinking it's about grip or what do they do to. I think one of the secrets to the Astros' success is they dial in on what's your best. They may change some things mechanically and technically, but I think they just dial in on what your best pitches are. And they say, look, let's use this more and get away from this.
Yeah, you may be right. But I also think they got some magic sauce over there with grip or with, you know, with Strami. He was using a little junk, a little stuff, maybe a little bit, a little grip tightener.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I think it was, you know, they just talk about, maybe they show you something grip-wise to improve spin rate. But remember, a lot of what the Astros did was situational high fastballs, and they wanted you to work off of curve. You're going to throw more curves and more breaking pitches, and then we're going to isolate our fastballs. We're going to have a purpose for our fastballs. Well, I think they just had a really – I think they had a smart approach, too. And you know, if it's as simple as Miller just saying, look, you throw this pitch well, we're going to throw it more. Don't be afraid about always trying to fool people and mix it up. Fooling people can also be about placement. It doesn't have to be about, you know, changing speeds, or you don't know which pitch is coming. You don't know where the pitch is going to be placed. So I think some of it could just be Kikuchi just saying, look, we think these are your two best pitches. We're going to focus on these two pitches, and we're not going to try to do too much. Yeah. But let's see. Today is the start, and I know every Houston Astros fan is watching, hoping to be very excited about what they see. But at the same time, the reality is this guy's got a lot of, whether he knows it or not, well, pressure self-created, but I would say there's pressure on Dana Brown. Let me put it that way. Yeah. Not on Kikuchi. Yeah, no,
Dana Brown wants to see, and for many reasons, Dana Brown wants to see him succeed. Well, number one being, we need another starter that's going to be effective and win more games. The number two is, my ass is on the line here with that trade. I gave up a lot, so hopefully he comes through. Now, mentioned Alex Bregman. Sports Illustrated has a story that says, and I think you and I both believe Alex Bregman is going to return to Houston, right? I believe Alex Bregman will return to Houston.
Well, I don't know if I believe that. I believe that they have a much better chance than I believed before. And part of it is because Alex Bregman was not as effective this year early on.
Right. Well, here's the thing for Alex Bregman. Now, Alex Bregman was pissed in the offseason. I got the word that he moved to Arizona. He, you know, picked up, and he's got a permanent home in Arizona. He kind of, I think he felt like maybe, I'm not going to say how Alex Bregman felt, but maybe it was because contract negotiations weren't going great or whatever. He feels like, oh, okay, well, city doesn't, maybe not feeling the love that he should feel. How would 7 years, $210 million, would that be enough love?
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
7 years, my goodness.
I don't think they'll
do seven.
I feel
like how long he's been in the league.
I think, you know, who wrote this? It's Jim Conahan wrote this. He says the Astros would be paying one of their franchise greats a ton of money if this prediction comes through. 7 years, 210. I don't think they go seven. I think they go six. I don't know if that's going to be enough to keep Bregman. I think somebody might offer seven. Here's the thing about Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman, you leave here, we know who you are. We get a little frustrated with you in April and in May, right? But we know who you are. We know that you're going to start hitting, and we know that as you go, so go the Houston Astros. Dana Brown even said that. As Alex Bregman goes, so go the Houston Astros. And when he's good, and he's been pretty damn good. But you're going to start putting a lot more pressure. You're in a new place with a big contract, and you're not, and you're hitting 110 in May. They're going to start to come down hard on you, and then the pressure just builds and builds and builds. Now he's really, really good, and he's going to come out of it like he always does. But we already know who you are. Okay?
But would the Astros do that? Like, I think, man, $30 million a year. That's still a marker. That's a high marker, and I honestly think Alex Bregman probably at this stage, based on his historical performances, you know, how much do you put into what he's already given you? You're going to pay for what he's given you. I think the number should probably be closer to 26, basically. Ooh. 25, but I don't think that'll get it done.
Well, I don't think seven is the number.
No. Seven. For me, if you're the Astros, five is the number. And if he doesn't do five, then you're not doing
it. He ain't doing five. He ain't doing
Well, then we
ain't. I think they would do six. I think they would do six.
They did it with Altuve. Would you do five at 30? It's $150 million.
Yeah, I don't know if he would, though.
It's more than Yordan makes on an annual basis.
Yeah, it's more than Yordan, but Yordan, you know, had to get out of his arbitration years. Bregman's a free agent. You know, I don't know. You know, Altuve's average salary is 25. I think 20. I'm with you. I think he's more of a 26 guy.
Yeah.
But there's some stupid team out there that's going to give him 7-10.
You think so? I don't think
so. Look what the Rockies gave Chris Bryant.
Yeah, that wasn't smart. But those are also, but John, every time you mention those are cautionary tales.
They are, but they don't learn. There's one thing about Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball owners never learn anything.
Nah, I don't
ever.
Know. This offseason was different, John. Look at Blake Snell. Like, this offseason was way different. Guys who usually get paid didn't get paid this year. There's a lot of guys who, if you weren't first in, you were screwed.
Well, Alex Bregman's going to be one of the first in this year, though.
He can be first in, but if he's waiting for a number that he thinks is a number and Major League teams don't agree with him, because there's way more teams now using analytic methodology in terms of paying players, that's one of the reasons I think Alex Bregman could be back. I don't know that he's going to get what he – that's been my whole thing, John. I don't think he's going to get what he thinks he's going to get.
Well, maybe not. Maybe the market won't be out there for him, but I think the Astros are going to covet him more than they did Correa, more than they did Springer, more than they did any of the other guys that have walked. I think they're going
to
covet
him. That's hard to say when they haven't even made an offer.
Right. But
I mean, there's nothing there that tells you. Alex Bregman certainly doesn't believe it.
We'll see. I think he's the guy that stays. I think he is. I know that Kyle Tucker won't be. Kyle Tucker is going to hit the market, and Kyle Tucker is going to get that 30. He's going to get 30 plus, and he's going to get long.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker is going to be like a $340 million player.
And he is, and he's going to get the 10-year deal he wants. Mm-hmm. So all of those.
Speaking
things.
Along contracts, when we come back, there is one that is turning into an absolute disaster, and we will get to it when we come back. If you guys want to jump in, I'm actually watching during the breaks the Texans. I've got the game tape on my. On my laptop here, and so I'm watching some of it. So I'll splice in some things I see. Marcus Harris, the rookie, seventh-round pick out of Auburn. Ooh, he's on the ground getting beat a lot. That's not a good sign for a seventh-round undersized defensive lineman.
No. Well, yeah, send that out. Where is it that everybody can see your comments on it?
On the radio here.
Oh. I thought you
were probably put it on Twitter, too.
Oh, you can put it on Twitter and show people why Marcus Harris is rolling around.
I can't
the ground
show
like
the
Kelvin
video.
Cato.
This is
like
not
Kelvin
for,
Cato.
He can't do that. He works for the NFL. He can't.
No, I'm just saying
out.
He's a small guy. He gets pushed around a little bit. That's not great.
I vote for you to interject during whatever topic we have.
Just throw something in.
Yeah, whenever you see something, okay. just boop, 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 and just throw it in there.
Yeah, right. I agree. I agree with John Clay Wolf. He's going to be on your radio tomorrow morning. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
Be careful saying I agree with John Clay Wolf.
Well, not about
that
everything.
Could mean any number of things.
Right. Well, there are a lot of things that he says that you just, as a human being, you can't agree with. But that's okay, because the one thing that John Clay Wolf does, and he does it better than everybody, is he gives you more money for your vehicle. And that's why you use John. That's why you know John Clay Wolf. That's why John Clay Wolf is like one of the biggest in the country at buying and selling cars at auction. He is fantastic at this. It's what he does. It's what he's been doing. He started here and in Dallas. He started in the state of Texas, and he's blown this thing up to a nationwide business. And he's so big. He's like cocky. He's walking around. Oh, really, CarMax? Let's go. I can't beat your offer. Watch this. If I can't beat the offer, I'm going to send $100 to that person. How's that? And he does. And he did. He did it with Michael, my man. And I was like shocked that it ever happens, but it actually did happen. And John Clay Wolf was good for his word. Couldn't beat the price, so he sent you the money. But here's the deal. You know how much your vehicle is worth when you go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, because then you walk into the dealership or CarMax and you go, ooh, this is what John Clay Wolf's offering. And they're going to go, ooh, we can't match that. And most of the cases, most of the time, they won't be able to match it. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your vehicle, one way to go, one place you have to go, GiveMeTheVIN.com. Hi, welcome back. Before we move on, we're being a little bit disrespectful. Not a little bit, a little bit, and especially Dell has to eat crow because the GOAT did it again last night when she won her second gold medal of these games.
She did. I don't have to eat crow. I didn't say she wouldn't win. I just said, hey, let's pick it up. And she did. So maybe you should be congratulating me instead of calling me to the carpet for saying, you know what, Miss Biles, you're one of the greatest of all time. Let's show that again.
Why don't you show that same kind of energy for the Astros?
What? Okay,
now that they're the first place Astros.
What?
Okay.
What's the? Yeah. There's a difference.
You're denigrating them all season long.
That's not true.
Not believing in them. You didn't believe in Simone Biles either.
That's not true.
you were calling her. Okay, pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up. That's all I said.
She wore a goat necklace. wore a goat necklace. You know why? Because she's the goat.
The problem for you is you're sensitive. You think any form of motivation is a criticism. All I asked for was for her to be at her best, and she did. I love Simone Biles and what she did. She's an American legend.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's thank about you. Time.
She had a great Olympics. It's been a really good – they called it a redemption, and it is because no matter what you – you know, it's redemption. It's kind of disingenuous for people who thought it was – like you weren't even allowed to discuss it. Her leaving, you had no right to even discuss her leaving the Olympics and dropping out, and she's got twisties. You don't even know anything. This is disgusting. Your male gaze and misogyny is not going to stand here, sir. And then, like, all of a sudden, now it's a redemption. Well, what did she need to be redeemed from? We weren't even supposed to talk about it last time because it was nothing. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here. Well, then it can't be a redemption then. But the reality was, we all knew it was a bad look last time. Whether that's fair or not, that's irrelevant because the general public is going to do what the, you know, the perception is the perception. And it wasn't a great perception. And then it is now. It does look like a great redemption for her.
Watching her with all her moves, I could see how you get the twisties.
She twists.
She does stuff nobody's done. She is, holy crap. And it's all choreographed, and she every one of those moves, I mean, to perfection. She is the greatest of all time, and she won another gold last night. Congratulations!
Well, speaking of the other goat, Katie Ledecky became the most decorated. Is it female Olympian or just female swimmer?
Female swimmer.
Who's the most decorated female Olympian?
Oh no, she might be the most female.
I think she's. Say swimmer all the time, but I think she's actually Olympian.
Yeah, she might be the most decorated female Olympian. Yeah. You know what, though? It's funny that we're lagging in swimming. Swimming is where we pick up all our golds. Is it the most gold medals? I mean, is it the most medals or the most gold medals?
It's supposed to be the most medals, but from the time I was young following the Olympics, it was always gold that I looked at.
Yeah, we're down 11-9 in gold medals. But we're up 37-27.
Have you seen the ass kicking we're taking in 3-on-3 basketball?
We're bad.
We've lost 8 of 9 games in men and women's. The men's team, other than 35-year-old Jimmer Fredette, I don't know anybody on that team. And they say the women's team was hurt because Cameron Brink tore her ACL. She was going to be on it. But apparently they can't get people to play on these 3-on-3 teams. Like they just. They can't find anyone to play.
Well, that's funny because if you're not on the Olympic basketball team, wouldn't you want to try to get a gold medal for your country?
They're more worried about what it looks like for them.
Who's on the women's team was the white girl that tried to cover...
Haley Van Lith.
Yeah, from LSU.
How you know her is the white girl who tried to cover Caitlin Clark?
Yeah,
at LSU. Could just be an Iowa practice.
Yeah, she now plays for TCU. Yeah, anyway, the entire white girl. So the entire depth chart for Iowa is white girls.
At
least the guards. Yeah, the U.S., they won a game. Yes, was it against France?
The women won yesterday.
14-13.
Yeah.
They lost to Australia as well.
So that's their one win.
Yeah, they beat France 14-13. Kevin Durant went to their first game yesterday where
LeBron
they lost
to
Australia.
LeBron was there with a UN hat on.
Yeah, see?
Well, he's a
he's
world,
a man of the people. He's a all world, the people in the entire world.
He's a world citizen.
Except people who are not part of the UN.
Why is he promoting the UN?
Because he's a citizen of the world, John.
Oh, all right. I think he feels like Trump might abolish the UN or something.
I don't know what he's thinking.
I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's thinking there. I don't believe he's going to vote for Trump. I just don't. I don't know why.
I don't know the politics of anything. But I do know this. I do know this. Mike Trout is out for the year again. Mike Trout's injury history, I had to go look this up. Mike Trout, since the COVID year, 2020, he's played in 36 games, 119 games. And that sounds like, hey, that's not bad. That's missing 43 games. He's played in 36, 119, 82, and 29 this year. In case you were wondering, Mike Trout has a contract. His contract paid him, what they gave him was, this is strong too, what was his deal? I got to look up the deal. It was hold on. It was over $400 million. It's a 12-year deal with over $400 million. I mean, it is an abject disaster. An abject disaster. And that's the same team that had the disastrous contract with a free agent in Albert Pujols. Now they've got Mike Trout. And Mike Trout had a $426 million extension at 12 years. And this is year six. 12 years. These long contracts are absolute ticking time bombs. And the Astros are never going to get involved with this because of this very thing. Think about how much he's due to make $37 million a year for the next 6 years. $37 million a year for the next 6 years. Now, Mike Trout has won. You almost forget that he's won three MVPs because that's not even part of who he is anymore and how he's perceived. Mike Trout won an MVP in 2019, the pre-COVID year. And in 2020 was all hell breaks loose. But you look at all the numbers. Mike Trout's numbers were astonishing, obviously. Rookie of the year, three MVPs. He finished second three different times. So he finished with three firsts, three seconds, and a fourth-place finish. Oh, by the way, as a rookie, he was three seconds, John. He also finished second place his rookie year. So he finished with three. He finished with three first place and four second place. Seven times he's been inside the top two in MVPs. But that all went away after the COVID year. And since then, he cannot stay on the field. And even before then, he's had issues. But we're talking about, in 2017, a thumb ligament, a torn thumb ligament, 47 days. A calf strain, 139 days in 2021. In 2022, back inflammation, 35 days. But remember, he still missed a bunch of games. Broken hammock bone, 89 days missed in 2023. And then, and that was basically the rest of the year. And then torn meniscus this year has gotten him for, he couldn't make it back after the torn meniscus. And it's been 153 days that he will miss. He's missing a ton of games. And they're on the hook for him six more years at $37 million a year. A 12-year deal. How stupid.
I don't feel bad. I mean, you know, it's so funny. I was at the Buffalo Wild Wings watching the Astros the other night against the Pirates. And as soon as the Dodgers pregame show came out, and every TV in there went to the Dodgers. And I went, hey, I'm watching the Astros. And they put it on. They put it back on for me. There is zero angel. Nothing. No. Boop, boop, boop. Nothing angel here. Not that you don't. I mean, maybe it's just Anaheim's team. It's angels in the outfield. Dell, it's not angels in the outfield. All right? Okay.
They need some of it. That was a remarkable turnaround that year.
They did have a remarkable, and they won it all, didn't they?
I don't know. It cut off with them making the playoffs, I think.
Oh, did they win? Yeah, they made the playoffs for the first time ever. That's the Angels, okay? Mike Trout's been in three playoff games in his career. Three.
That's it.
And he lost all three. Yeah.
Three playoff games. And there's no doubting his greatness.
If he doesn't play another game, he's a Hall of Famer.
And have you ever thought about the fact that we have a hard time dealing with Lance McCullers' injury?
As
a city really struggle with it. Can you imagine if it's somebody making $20 million more, literally our best player, if that was Jordan, who was always, or Kyle Tucker, who was always missing the, like, I can't, and then you had six more years to go? We couldn't deal with that.
Which one is worse, his or Pujols' contract? At least Pujols was on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the field, but
that's about all. God,
I don't know. I mean, he takes up a chunk of the money you're spending, and he's not even playing. I think it's Trout. I mean, Pujols was somebody else's player. You felt like you bought a player. You felt like, hey, did Pujols not bring his special drinking powder, his special protein powder with him? You may have thought that because the investigation. What was that called?
The Mitchell Report.
The Mitchell Report. He was a child of the Mitchell Report era.
Well, he wasn't even.
Yeah, he played baseball back then. What? I'm not saying he was in the Mitchell
2001?
Report. 2001? He was in the era of where they were talking Mitchell Report. Albert Pujols, when did he come into the league? I mean, he ruined us, and I vomited
blood. Pujols button. For sure. I thought you meant Trout. Pujols for sure.
No, I meant Pujols.
Oh, no, Pujols.
Yeah, Pujols was.
I always thought he was a product.
That's what I'm saying.
That.
So yeah. You always had that wonder, like, did he not bring his special protein powder with us to Anaheim? With Trout, you saw how great he was, and now it's like, is it gone? Are we jinxed? This is four straight years where he's always injured, and we've got six more years of this contract?
Yeah. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 if you want to. That's their problems. You know what? We ain't outfield. Boy, we are outfield poor with Kyle Tucker down. I mean, we're one of the poors as far as injuries go right now. We got all our pitchers down, and we got Kyle Tucker down too. Yeah, we're one of the poors too, Lance. So, well, I mean, I ain't feeling bad for Anaheim when we got our own McCullers. We got Lance Trout over here.
You got McCullers, you got Verlander, you got Garcia, you've got Javier,
Urquidy.
You got Urquidy, you got JP France.
I mean, and
Kendall
Tucker.
Graveman.
I mean, what? I mean, this is ridiculous. And in the greatest season in Astros history, is what we
got. The greatest team ever.
The greatest team
Kendall
ever.
Roy. Like,
he doesn't play baseball.
Kendall Roy.
I think that was one of our pitchers.
No, that's Kendall Roy. Graveman.
Baseball hat with no logo on it, but that's it. We got a break.
Hell
it.
To
Don't
the
go
OG.
Anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
8:39. All right. It's time for you guys to jump in. Tell us what you saw on the. If you want to talk about Kikuchi's start, that's fine. If you had some thoughts on the Houston Texans, feel free to jump in. I finished the defensive run game portion of this. I can tell you. Jamal Hill, the linebacker we talked about from Oregon, has a ways to go. He is still learning to play the position, so he could end up being a practice squad player this year or maybe just a special teams only player. We'll see, but he's really fast and he's active, and so that might be one of those guys you try to bury on your depth chart so he doesn't have to get in a game, but he plays on special teams. I thought Neville Hewitt played pretty well. The safeties were up and down for the Texans in coverage and in the run game. And then defensive lineman Heinisch and Khalil Davis were clearly the two best defensive linemen the Texans had on the field yesterday. So looked at, I looked at the defense. I have not really focused at all on the offense, but just wanted to see what I saw on defense. And a lot of these guys are not going to make the team. I mean, you can see they're just not ready to go. One guy that I hadn't really heard anything about during camp was Jacob Phillips. And I know you remember him, Dell. He came from, I want to say, North Dakota State, went to LSU. And then at LSU, he was pretty good at LSU. He was a Dallas Cowboys draft pick. I thought they maybe overdrafted a little bit with him. But he got in. He was not even the first unit on the field, which was not a great sign for Jacob Phillips. And he's a linebacker wearing number 22. Also, doesn't feel like a great. I know players can get their own numbers now, but I don't know. For some reason, linebacker wearing number 22 doesn't feel like it's going well for him. And he was running around, but I'm not sure he's going to make the team. But he had a couple of little flash plays. Miles Bryant, number 30. Had a flash play as a safety when he got in the game, but nothing that really stood out. I do want to – is John back yet?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the kickoff stuff. It was weird. Number one,
what's
the
weird
Bears
– I watched the whole season with the –
Was it exactly that way?
Roughnecks. Yeah. Well, the only difference was there's two guys back in the NFL.
So the alignment and everything was exactly the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it's weird for me to watch that. I've got some thoughts. Number one, the Bears clearly didn't care about getting the ball at the 30-yard line. These guys wanted it, and I understand this. It's not about us trying to get it at the 30. It's about getting things on tape. We want to see what the kickoff return ends up looking like. We want to see, you know, where we have opportunities. So every time the Bears had a kickoff to them, they took it out. It didn't matter. Like, two of them would have landed in the end zone and gone to the 30-yard line, but they didn't care. They wanted to get the ball out there, get some returns, put some things on tape for themselves as prospects, but then also for the team so the special teams coach could get some reps because they've never seen, you know, other than UFL, I mean, the XFL, they haven't dealt with this. This is their first year dealing with this. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of big plays broken. I really don't. Man, they are on top of I know they want to encourage it more, but I'm trying to let things land in the end zone because it may not have the impact that they think on games. The coverage unit is on top of the blocker so fast that it's hard to create alleyways.
You had a false start by the Bears, too, so you got to watch that. Number 60 pulled back too soon. So you that was something. It's a nothing. But at least it's a play as opposed to what the kickoff has been in the NFL for the last few seasons. It was a non-play. It was just now at least there's some interest to it that you are going to see a return. You're actually going to see a play where the kickoff has been absolutely nothing. They turned a nothing into something, even though it may not. We'll see. It's difficult, but with two guys back, it's a little bit different. The XFL only had one guy back. You got a chance to run some stuff. Of course, you weren't going to see it last night. Nobody wants to give away anything in the preseason. But if you've got a coordinator, a special teams coordinator that's got a little bit of ingenuity, then you're going to see that maybe something could happen with two guys back there. But you're not going to see it in the preseason. A couple of things that we haven't touched on yet. Justin Herbert. Plantar fasciitis. That is a possible, really, real killer for the Chargers. How about DeAndre Hopkins out, knee injury? What about Deontay Foreman? Scary.
Carted off on a
carted off. Yeah.
Well, not carted off. I'm sorry, stretchered off.
Yeah. That is really scary. That you hate to see that. And some other stuff. As a matter of fact, when we come back, Amani Toomer just eviscerated Caleb Williams. And we will talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dell, I put that on, I don't know if you saw it, I put it in the rundown, Amani Toomer. Apparently, well, Caleb Williams didn't play last night. And I thought Rippon got a lot more. So I thought Badgen was going to get more snaps. Apparently, Rippon is the third string guy, and he might be moving up the play chart, depth chart, with his performance last night. Brett Rippon looked really good, really good. Badgen was okay too. So did our quarterbacks. But Caleb Williams didn't play. Apparently, Caleb Williams in practice called out his teammates for having a dirty locker room. Which,
well, dirty, filthy.
Yeah, they were dirty and filthy. Which, you know, as a leader, you're going to come in and you are going to, you know, make sure guys are doing the right thing, if that's what leaders do, right? Well, not according to Amani Toomer. Amani Toomer, who played years and years in the league, mostly with the Giants, I believe, he had this to say about Caleb Williams coming in and admonishing his teammates.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said. And you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie? How about you clean up after me?
Right.
How about that? Don't give me this crap. I don't like it at all. I feel like rookies should earn their respect.
Sure.
Just because you got drafted number one doesn't mean nothing to me because I don't even know if you're good.
But I think he's trying to be, he may have even said it somewhat, you know, tongue in cheek, but I think he's trying to be a leader. He's trying to be that guy. Now,
Stop it.
I get it.
Stop. Just play the game. Prove to me that you're really here to be a star. Prove to me you're really trying to make this team better. Don't sit up here and talk about trash around the locker room. Yeah. Come on, man, please.
Now,
doing too much.
I would say this. Great leadership would be he just cleans the locker room up and says nothing. But here's the problem. I ain't your mama. I ain't cleaning up after you. Have some respect. Right?
I would be like, I'm cleaning up. the only way this is possible. I'm right. cleaning up. I'm like, hey, guys, you know what? I'm going to do this. Could you guys help me out?
Give me a hand.
Exactly.
Okay, that's
Don't
different.
Be like, go up to somebody who's sitting in the tub after a hard day of practice. You're a quarterback. Everybody hates the quarterbacks as it is because they get way too much credit.
Right.
And every
Can't touch
time.
Them. Like,
I mean.
Agree or disagree?
I don't totally agree, and I'll tell you why. I think Amani Toomer's old school, has his feelings about a guy wearing nail polish. I think he doesn't like the person, or doesn't like what he thinks is the person, and it's clouding what he. I think it may be an overreaction to the situation, but I get it. I get what he's saying. Like, you're a rookie, but he's not just a rookie. He's a 1-1. He's a first pick of the draft. He is going to be the face of the franchise. You have a little different. There's a little different vibe to that when it's Kyler, it's Joe Burrow, it's Trevor Lawrence, it's these guys who are the first pick of the draft. They are expected to come in and be kind of the dude early on, and he's trying to do that. I think he made an attempt by trying to do it. Probably, I know. See, I know there was a story. I've heard it. I can't remember if it's football or basketball where there was a star player who made everyone keep. I think it may have been Ray Lewis, who everyone had to have the locker room the way it was supposed to be. You had to know that. We don't leave a messy locker room. Yeah. He probably heard this story and wanted to do the same.
Well,
the fact that he threw the, you got your nails polished, instead of just saying it's a rookie, that's how you know it's kind of personal.
Yeah. Well, I agree with he should have started cleaning and say, hey, guys, can I get a hand?
That would have been probably a better
way. That would have been the best way to go about it. But I disagree with I'm not a guy that's been around the NFL for 5, 6, 7, 8 years listening to a rookie, number 1-1, tell me what to do. I could see some of that as well. I can see some of that. If he's playing like CJ played last year, okay, I'll listen. I'm sure guys listen to CJ after about week 4, 5, or 6. Instead, when CJ said something, they're like, I got to listen to this guy. Look at how good he is. And I can follow him. Caleb hasn't thrown a pass yet in the league, so there is something to both. I think both sides are right. I think it would have been a much better lead by example, not by by your words. Lead by example. I could see Brady picking stuff up in the locker room, to
that
show
would have probably spoke louder.
It.
Yeah, if he's the one picking up the stuff,
yeah,
and make sure he does it in front of everyone. That probably is one of those lead by example types, because it's tough. Is it a big deal? Yeah, it's a bigger deal than obviously it's the 24-hour sports cycle. So they're gonna make this a story, and then we're gonna hear from a former player. And I get that. And that's a veteran. He's done playing football. He looks at this. You got some rookie telling you, well, you know what though? When he played with Eli Manning, I bet Eli's not a big talker, but quarterbacks are expected to be leaders. And nobody likes a quarterback. I felt like there was a lot of unresolved issues with Amani Toomer and quarterbacks.
He didn't say it, but they got the money.
Yeah.
They got the fame. They get too much credit. Yeah. He didn't say it, but I know where he's at. I could see a resentment from, Joe Burrow's making, a 35% of our cap. What?
Or whatever. No, it's 25%.
25% of our cap.
That's still a ton.
That's still a stupid number.
Did you hear Caleb, by the way, on the broadcast? Were you able to hear him?
No.
Okay. I thought he was pretty good. I thought Caleb, that he was interviewed down on the sideline by Laura Rutledge. And I think it was Laura Rutledge. And I thought he did a nice job of answering the questions. I was interested. He is a different guy now. He is very personable when you hear him. He's not just a bunch of cliches. And I thought he did a good job of answering those questions. I know it's kind of silly. It's not football. It's just him talking. But I thought, I thought he came off. I'm looking for leadership qualities. Yeah. Is this a guy who I think people are going to lead? That's what I'm trying to look for.
It's so funny. We expect, and you know what? They are, and they're coming out. I mean, like you said with Caleb Williams, we expect so much out of these kids. They're just kids. They're just out of school. They're still painting their fingernails, okay? And yet, even we're analyzing his sideline demeanor and interview skills at 22 years old or whatever he is. I mean, that's at 22 years old, I've been like, okay, let's get this game over with so I can get to a party. You know, that might be why I never made it to the NFL, but that's a lot of 22-year-old attitudes. And we expect them to be like CJ, watching film at midnight on a Wednesday and calling up Tank and saying, we can do this. Hey, go to or play a game or go to some club. Not like the clubs Tank goes to where you get shot at. But
that was a pool party. It wasn't a club. And number two, he was just there.
No, it wasn't. It was a club.
Wrong place.
It was a club with a pool.
It was a club with a pool. Well, it was a pool party. He was outside.
No, but it was a club with a pool. Just like we've got one.
Well, yeah, but
here.
He was at a pool party. That was what it specifically was. They rented the pool for the pool party.
I think it's
a nightclub.
And it wasn't his fault that he got shot.
No, it wasn't, obviously. And beyond demeanor, not only that, you got to be a certain way. You need to represent the franchise. You have to be what the quarterback is supposed to be. And oh, by the way, if you haven't won at the highest level by the time you're like 25, 26, beat it. You're not good enough.
Bust.
Get out of here. I don't care what you do. If you haven't won, get out of here. We need someone else.
Well, if you get to two Super Bowls but you haven't won yet, I don't think we can win with you. What? Really? Really? Okay, when we come back, Lance, I want you to think about this. I don't know if you saw the list. 33rd team put out their best play callers, offense and defense. Come up with your list, who you think is the best. But first, I need you to talk about John Daspit.
I'll talk about John Daspit. John Daspit, personal injury lawyer, he has been very busy lately. He's had meetings galore, cases that he's working on. He's trying to continue to work on people's, people who've been injured. He's a very good personal injury lawyer. He's working around the clock on getting these deals handled and taken care of for people who need to be compensated for injuries they suffered at the hands of others who were negligent, whether it's at the workplace or out on the roadway, wherever it might have been. And so he's doing everything he can possibly do for you. And that includes all of his lawyers. He's hiring lawyers right now. He's got close to 70 and he's still hiring lawyers. Now that's across his different offices, but here in the state of Texas, but he wants to be able to put someone on your case who is handling a small amount of workloads so that they can really dive in and focus on what is the most important thing, which is putting together the facts, the injuries, the bills, everything and of course what your injury was, so that he can get the best settlement for you so that you are taken care of and compensated for all of the issues that you are going to have. And that's certainly going to happen for most of you who are in an injury or an accident due to someone else. There's hospital, there's medical, there's rehab. Of course, there's, the pain and suffering component. There's sometimes time missed from work as well. He will account for all of that. 713-CALL-NOW. That's the phone number. I tell you every day, and I want you to remember it. 713-CALL-NOW. And if you have a friend or family member or coworker who's dealing with something, tell them to go to DaspitLaw.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.